Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 3 of week number 47, still studying Luke chapter 1. As we get started in today's study, these reminders. Our free materials are always available by clicking the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series. Or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Remember, you can access all of these IGH 260 programs by going to internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. What does God say? God says, here's where you are, here's where you need to be. Move. That divine directive, that divine expectation, can be found throughout the New Testament. It's summed up in the words faith, repentance, baptism. Each of those words entails a starting place that never ends. Biblical saving faith, for it to be what God wants it to be, will always move in the direction that God wants it to go. That kind of faith, biblical saving faith, it never stops. And repentance, the fruit of godly sorrow that leads to salvation, once repentance starts, repentance never stops. And finally, baptism, our death to self and our death to sin, and then alive to and alive for Christ's initial obedience, baptism has never been a one-time, one-off, singular act of faithful obedience. It has always inherently called for our complete and our ongoing, our daily death to self, and our daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. We cannot be what God wants us to be and what God expects us to be without these modeling Jesus elements. Are you modeling Jesus today? A program update before we get started. We are slowing down in our studies of Luke's gospel so that we could see how and why Luke's faith parallels ours. What does that mean? How does Luke's faith parallel our faith? First, we never witnessed Jesus' life, Jesus' teachings, and Jesus' miracles. We did not see Jesus die on the cross. We were not there when Jesus was buried. We did not witness Christ's resurrection. How does Luke's faith parallel ours? Luke never saw those key events either. Luke was not an eyewitness to the things that he wrote about. Second, because we were not eyewitnesses of those aspects of Jesus' life, what we know about them must come through some other means. And so it was with Luke. Third, we have to rely on the accounts and on the evidence that comes through others. Likewise, Luke's conviction of faith had to be rooted in someone else's eyewitness account, in someone else's records. Third, today, we have to rely on the accounts and on the evidence that comes through others. Likewise, Luke's conviction of faith had to be rooted in someone else's eyewitness account, on someone else's records. Fourth, we have to thoroughly investigate those claims and that evidence. And Luke had to be diligent in his assessment of those eyewitness accounts and early narratives. Fifth, before we can share our faith with others, we must be fully convinced of what we believe. Luke was no different. Luke went through that same process before Luke promised certainty of faith to Theophilus. So, you see, even though Luke lived much closer in time to the events that he recorded in the New Testament, And though Luke lived much closer in distance to those events, Luke was still not an eyewitness to the claims that he made. To that end, Luke's faith parallels ours. That's why we are spending more time in our study of Luke's gospel. We turn now to the second generation of God's message, the transmission of that message from Jesus, the Son of God, to the apostles. God's redemptive message to the world was a message that was delivered by and delivered through the Christ. At the end of our last broadcast, we introduced this text from the writer of the book of Hebrews. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. That's Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Know what we see presented in this context. God, in the past, spoke in various ways. Various ways would refer to God's method of communication during the Old Testament. During that age, God spoke through dreams, visions, appearances. God spoke face to face, that is, directly. God spoke through the mediation of angels, for example, during the giving of the Mosaic Law. God spoke in the context of the miraculous. See the burning bush incident in Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. God spoke by means of the Urim and Thummim, tools used by the priest. God spoke by inspiration, that is, through the Holy Spirit of God. And God spoke through history, through the historical acts and real-life figures that we find presented in the Old Testament. The point, God, in the past, spoke in these various ways to the prophets. God, in the past, spoke in these various ways to the prophets, who in turn would proclaim them to God's people. See Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Note, for example, the opening verses of many of the First Testament prophets. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, or Joel, or Amos, or Jonah, and so forth. But now, according to the Hebrews writer, in this age, in these last days, God speaks through his Son. God speaks through the Son, the heir of all things. God speaks through the Son, the creator of all things. God speaks through the Son, the brightness of God's glory. God speaks through the Son, the express image of God. God speaks through the Son, who sustains everything by the word of his power. God speaks through the Son, who purged our sins. God speaks through the Son, who now sits at God's right hand. God speaks through the Son, who has become so much better than the angels. God speaks through the Son, who has the most excellent name. Though this immediate text does not explicitly state it, as Hebrews continues, we learn that God speaks through the Son, who was the fulfillment of First Testament prophecy generally. God speaks through the Son, who was the fulfillment of First Testament Messiah prophecy specifically. What's the difference between generally and specifically in this setting? Generally, all of the prophets spoke of the coming Messiah. We find many statements to that effect in the New Testament. We note just these two readings. Romans chapter 1, the first four verses, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Along the same lines, Acts 10:43 reads, to him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And God speaks through the Son, who was the fulfillment of First Testament messianic prophecy specifically. That's especially the case in the book of Hebrews, where Christ and all spiritual things related to the Christ were the fulfillment of First Testament prophecy. Christ, in that regard, was depicted as being better than angels, than Moses, than Aaron's priesthood, than the land of Canaan, than the tabernacle and the temple, than all First Testament sacrifices. The major thrust of the opening verses for our present study, God speaks today through His Son, Jesus the Christ. God does so by means of the Spirit's revelation, that is, by means of the inspired Word of God. The second transmission of God's redemptive message from the Son to the apostles demands, of course, that Jesus had the right, the authority to deliver that message. We will not repeat everything that we have already noted about the first transfer from God the Father to God the Son, but we will highlight these key elements before moving forward. What God taught Jesus, Jesus in turn spoke, John 8:28. Because of that, Jesus would state that His teaching, His doctrine, was not His own. John 7:16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me." Jesus often called attention to God as the source of His message and as the authority behind His message. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." John 14:10. Because of statements like these, as well as the message that Jesus presented and the methods that He used to do so, Jesus' audiences recognized that Jesus had authority. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and verse 29. As we continue our study, let's think about a few biblical texts that center on the second transfer of God's saving message. First, let's consider this passage from John chapter 15. The chapter begins with the introduction of the vine, the vine dresser, and the branches illustration. As Jesus explained it, He was the vine, God the Father was the vine dresser, and the apostles were the branches. Chapter 15, verse 1. As branches, the apostles were to bear fruit. God pruned those branches in order to yield more fruit. Chapter 15, verse 2. The first reference to message of any kind appears in chapter 15, verse 3, and it's there that we will take up when we continue our study of Luke chapter 1 in our next broadcast. To start our online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org.